Thank you, Will, for that.
I needed it. We're going to be on page 84, paragraph 5. Page 84, paragraph 5. I'm going to read through the paragraph, and then I'm going to go back through it again, and we're going to see if you can get the message out of it. The guiltless mind cannot suffer. The guiltless mind can't suffer. A guiltless mind can't suffer. A guiltless mind can't suffer. Being sane, the mind heals the body because the mind has been healed. The mind heals the body because the mind has been healed. The sane man cannot conceive of illness because a sane man cannot conceive of attacking anyone or anything. I said before that illness is a form of magic. It might be better to say that illness is a form of magical solution. The ego believes that by punishing itself, it will mitigate the punishment of God. And even in this, the ego is arrogant. First, the ego attributes to God a punishing intent, and then takes this intent as its own prerogative. The ego tries to usurp all the functions of God, as the ego perceives all functions of God, because the ego recognizes that only total allegiance can be trusted.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I started studying the Course in Miracles, I thought I was sane. And thanks to the Course in Miracles, I'm totally clear that I'm totally insane. And I was wondering if that was the goal. You know? Because the first thing it says is that a guiltless mind cannot suffer. So if I'm really in my innocent mind, I couldn't be in any kind of pain or fear whatsoever. And then the Course turns around and says, since everything comes from mind, then as soon as your mind is sane, because your mind doesn't have any guilt in it, then your mind is going to heal everything that's going on in your body. Because when your mind is healed, it heals your body. That blew me away. Because it makes perfect sense. If my mind is guiltless, it can't suffer. And if it's not suffering, it's sane. And if it's sane, it's going to heal my body. Because my mind has been healed. He says a sane mind couldn't even conceive of illness. He said if we were sane, if we knew ourselves as the unlimited beings that we are, if we knew ourselves as the unlimited being that we are, then we couldn't even conceive of being sick, or sad, or suffering, or in lack. If we were sane, we couldn't even conceive of ourselves as lacking anything as unlimited as we are. How do I know I'm sick? Because I don't see myself as unlimited. Okay? Then it says that illness or sickness or lack of peace comes from attacking someone or something. And that could be you. You attacking yourself all day. But the Course is saying the problems in the physical experience is coming from your attack upon yourself. and that is where the illness is coming from. It's like I'm attacking everything around me, and then I'm making myself sick and tired. That's what it's basically saying, you know. Then it turns around and said, well, that's just a form of magic. It's just a magical solution. In other words, this is what's going on. A mind that's guilty, called the ego, or the part of the mind that believes in fear, called the ego, he says, believes that by punishing itself, it's going to mitigate the punishment of God. So an insane man or a guilty man believes that if it punishes itself first, the universe won't punish it. So I'm going to punish myself first so that the universe won't punish me. The Court says that's the game that a guilty man is playing. I'm going to punish myself to mitigate the punishment of the Creator. I'm going to punish myself so bad the Creator wouldn't even think of punishing me because I'm so guilty.
Yeah.
He said because a guiltless mind couldn't even conceive of suffering. And since the mind is healed because it can't even conceive of suffering, he said that heals the body. And then the body is healed. Like all the stuff we're worrying about in our bodies would be healed if we were in touch with our innocent minds. The innocent mind is the solution to every single problem you think you have, no matter what level you think you have it on. Okay? So getting sick is really an answer I came up with. And the answer is, I'm going to punish myself first. So I'm going to give myself this hard time. Okay? I know that's not a cheery statement, but that's we just want to hear it, right? And then the Court says, even in punishing yourself first, you're arrogant. First of all, you attribute to the Creator punishing intent. You make it up that the Creator punishes. And then you make it up like the universe could punish you. Then he says, then you take that intent as your own prerogative. And so you decide to punish yourself first. So you're trying to usurp all the functions of the Creator as you perceive them because you recognize that only total allegiance can be trusted. The ego cannot oppose the laws of God any more than you can. But your ego can interpret the laws of God according to what your ego wants, just as you can. That's why the question, what do you want, must be answered. The question, what do you want, must be answered. The question, what do you want? 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 That's the question that must be answered. So who can tell me what the question is that must be answered?
What do you want?
What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? So I'd like to ask you all to help me out right quick. Take about 10 seconds. Would you do it? I would like you to look at me. And then on three, just look at me and say, what do you want? Okay. 1, 2, 3.
What do you want?
Yeah. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. You want the prayer answered at the same time you asked it. You don't want no time lag. Let it happen both at the same time. That's where I like my healing. See what I'm saying? But I was not going to pass up on an opportunity to do exactly what it was asking me to do, which is, and I love this because we always say we're asking each other now, what do I want? What do I want? And so the Court says, he says, guess what? You're answering the question, what do you want, every minute and every second and each moment. I love it. The decision is a judgment that is anything but ineffectual. He says, you're answering what do you want every minute and every second. And every decision that you make about what you want has an effect. Every decision that you make about what you want has an effect. Remember, though, that the effect will automatically follow until the decision is changed. You're going to keep on getting the same result until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same result until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same result until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same results until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same results until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same results until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same results until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same results until you change your mind. You're going to keep on getting the same results until you change your mind. I'm going to keep on getting the same results until I change my mind. I'm going to keep on getting the same results until I change my mind. I'm going to keep on getting the same results until I change my mind. But remember that the alternatives themselves are unalterable. In other words, the two things that you have to choose between will never change. The two things you have to choose between will never change. The Holy Spirit, which is your loving man, like the ego, which is the upset man, is a decision. But together, love and fear constitute all the alternatives your man can accept and obey. Your man can only obey two alternatives, love or fear. Your man can obey only two alternatives, love or fear. Love or fear, Holy Spirit or ego, are the only choices open to you. Is fear or love are the only choices. Fear or love are the only choices. Fear or love are the only choices. Fear or love. Whether you're going to have fear or whether you're going to have love. Whether you're going to be afraid or whether you're not going to be afraid are the only two choices. Whether you're going to be afraid or whether you're going to be peaceful are the only two choices. Whether you're going to be afraid or whether you're going to be happy are the only choices open to you. You only have two choices. The two choices are love and fear. And so the question is, what do you want? And the answer is love or fear. And you're answering what you want every minute of every day by all the decisions that you make, because the decisions that you make are only determining two things: whether or not something that makes you feel love is getting ready to happen to you, or something that's about to upset you is about going to happen to you. Those are the only two alternatives open to your mind to obey. Now, he says, God created the Holy Spirit. So God created one part of you, so you cannot eradicate it. So the part of you that is love, the part of you that is love, the part of you that is strong, the part of you that is powerful, you cannot eradicate it. You cannot eradicate your power. You cannot eradicate your power. You cannot eradicate your power. You didn't eradicate your power. You didn't eradicate your wealth. So your creator created you as love, but you made the fear, so you can eradicate your fear because you are the one that's making you afraid. So since you're the one that's making you afraid, you're the one that can eradicate your fear. Since you're the one that's making you afraid, you're the one that can get rid of your fear. Since you're the one that's making up the fear that you're feeling, then you're the one that can get rid of the fear that you're feeling, because you're the one making up the fear that you're feeling. So you can get rid of the fear that you're feeling by recognizing that you're making up the fear that you're feeling. You can get rid of the fear that you're feeling by recognizing you made up the fear that you're feeling. Only what God creates is irreversible and unchangeable. So something that's eternal is something that's irreversible and something that is unchangeable. So you are irreversible, unchangeable love. 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 You are irreversible, unchangeable freedom. These are all the Course in Miracles definitions of God. So you are irreversibly cool. Okay, you're so cool to the point of no return. It's irreversible. You are irreversible love. Now don't get depressed because you don't see that. Because remember, the Course says all day long we're answering the question, what do we want? And then he says, well, and then everything that you decide is going to either bring you what you want, but then he says you only want two things. Either you want love or you want fear. He says, but the cool thing about it is love was created by God, so there's nothing you can do about that. Love is going to always be given to you. But all the fear that you feel has been made up by you, so you can get rid of everything that upsets you because you're the only one that's making it up. He says, what you have made can always be changed. That's what you've made can always be changed. You know why? He says because when you don't think like God, when you don't think like love, when you don't think like truth, he says you're not really thinking at all. So whenever you're not thinking in a loving way, you're not really thinking at all. So it can always be changed, because when you're not thinking in a loving way, you're not really thinking at all. Because delusional ideas are not real thoughts. Although you can believe in delusional ideas, it still doesn't make it real. Just because you might believe in your weakness, it still doesn't make it real. Just because you may believe in your weakness in some way, it still doesn't make it real. Delusional ideas are not real thoughts. A thought that would make you feel a lack of peace is not a real thought. Only real thoughts are love. Love is the only real thought. Freedom is the only real thought. Any other thought other than love, other than freedom, is not a real thought. So he says a delusional idea like feeling bad about ourselves or feeling afraid or feeling guilty or feeling depressed, of course, is basically telling us those are not real thoughts. Those are just delusional ideas that you are making up. So since you made it up, you can get rid of them. Okay. Then it says delusional ideas are not real thoughts. Although you can believe in a lie, but that don't make it true. Is that right?
Right.
So he says. If you believe in a lie, it doesn't make it true. He says, but you understand you are wrong. You're wrong. So the book is just telling us that, you know, the function of your thinking comes from God, and the function of your thinking is in God, and it's part of God's thought. That's what we are. We are part of the thought of God. We are part of the thought of love. We are part of the thought of love. We are part of the thought of love. We are part of the thought of all that is. He says, as a part of his thought, he said, you really can't think apart from the Creator because you are part of the Creator's thought, so you really can't think apart from the Creator. Irrational thought, thought that upsets you, is disordered thought. So an upset thought is a disordered thought, a disordered thought. I had a lot of disordered thoughts today. Then he says, what you don't know is that your Creator is really ordering your thought. Because your thought was created by your Creator. Your thinking 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 was created by what created you. Your thinking is created by what created you. Your thinking is created by what created you. Wow. Guilt feelings are always a sign that you don't know your thoughts are really being created by what created you. And your guilt feelings also show you, that you believe you can think apart from God. You really think you can think differently from love. You really think you can think differently from God. You really believe you can think differently from God. And you believe you want to think differently from God. He said you believe that you can think apart from love. And you believe in some situations that you want to think apart from love. So every time you have a disordered thought, every time you have an unreal thought, every time you have an unloving thought, it is attended by guilt. An unloving thought makes you feel guilty at its inception, and an unloving thought is maintained by guilt in its continuance. So we use guilt to keep unloving thoughts alive. So guilt is inescapable by those who believe they order their own thoughts. You feel guilty if you believe you ordered your own thoughts. So now you believe you got to obey their dictates. You believe that you've got to obey what you are making up for yourself to do. You believe that you have to obey what you are making up for yourself to do. We believe we have to obey all the stuff that we're making it up for ourselves to do. That's deep. He says, because it's you making it up, this makes you feel responsible for your errors without recognizing that by accepting this responsibility, you're acting irresponsibly. If the sole responsibility of a miracle worker, in other words, if your sole responsibility is to accept the atonement, which is your innocence for yourself, your sole responsibility is to accept your innocence for yourself, and I assure you that your sole responsibility is to accept your innocence for yourself, then the responsibility for what is atoned for can't be yours. The dilemma cannot be resolved except by the solution of undoing. you would be responsible for the effects of all your wrong thinking. You would be responsible for the results of all your wrong thinking. If it couldn't be undone, you would be responsible for all the effects of all your wrong thinking. If it couldn't be corrected, you would be responsible for the effects of all your wrong thinking. But the purpose of the atonement, which is the acceptance of your innocence, is to save your past in purified form only. We're trying to save your past, only the cool stuff from your past. If you will accept the remedy for disordered thought, a remedy whose effectiveness is basically beyond doubt, how can the symptoms remain when you accept the remedy? How can the symptoms remain when you accept the remedy? How can the problem remain when you've accepted the answer? Your continuing decision to remain separated is the only possible reason for continuing guilt feelings. Your guilt feelings are continuing because you continue to make the decision to remain separate. We have said this before, but did not emphasize the destructive results of the decision to remain separate. Any decision of the mind will affect both behavior and experience. So any decision your mind makes will affect your behavior. Any decision that your mind makes will affect your experience. Any decision that your mind makes will affect your behavior. Any decision that your mind makes will affect your experience. What you want, you expect. What you want, you expect. What you want, you expect. You expect what you want. So what you want and what you expect are the same thing. What you want and what you expect are the same thing. This is not delusional. Your mind does make your future. Your mind does make your future. Your mind does make your future. And your mind will turn it back to full creation in a minute if it accepts the innocence first. Your mind will turn back to full creation at any minute that you accept your innocence first. Your mind will turn back to full creation at any minute you will accept your innocence. The full power of your mind will return when you accept your innocence. The power of your mind will return when you accept you are innocent. The power of your mind will return when you accept that you are innocent. That accepts the atonement first. You will return to full creation the instant that you accept your innocence. Having given up your disordered thought, which was your guilty thought, and once you give up the disordered thought, which is the guilty thought, the proper ordering of thought becomes quite apparent when you give up the disordered thought, then the proper ordering of your thought will become obvious. When you give up your disordered thought, then the proper ordering of your thought, the proper thought ordering will become obvious when you give up your own distorted thoughts. Okay. What did you all hear? Anybody care to share what they heard? A little of it. What they heard. What did you hear?
I'll share before my ego censors me or attempts to. What I heard was that I felt guilty, and I knew this, and I sensed this way before I read this. I beat myself up so bad, which is why I started drinking and beat myself up for that, which is why I turned to drugs. And then I beat myself up for that, which is why the depression turned to supposedly bipolar, which made me then need to turn to medication to medicate the bipolar. So the inception, I mean, guilt is at the inception, as it said. So what I'm feeling is that it seems like we have a lot of layers to go through here of self-hatred. I mean, so much self-hatred. I have been so brutal to myself. But if I can believe in my innocence, accept my innocence, that this stuff, this disorder that I created is going to turn around.
Bingo. 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 You, if you didn't remember anything else you heard tonight but that, you would have heard everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. That was it. That came from within you. Anybody else care to share what they heard?
I'm going to put two and two together and go the wrong thing, but what I ended up with was my only responsibility is to want to be innocent.
Could it be that simple? Could it be that simple? Mm-hmm. Anybody else care to share what they heard?
It's funny you said it's so simple. That's why it's so difficult, is because it is so simple.
Mm-hmm. I heard that it's impossible for me to think any real thought that's separate from God.
Yeah, that was deep, that part about how your Creator orders your thought. And now, you know, you're so sure you're always thinking your thought that it never dawns on you that you're thinking the thought that was given you to think.
It's a real thought, that's for sure.
And if it's a real thought, it's not a delusional thought. So if it's a real thought, it only extends love. And if it's an unreal thought, then it's a thought you made up, and so therefore you can get rid of it. And you know, and you know how you can tell a feeling is a feeling you made up? You want to know? It'll look like you're the only one that's feeling it, and nobody else knows you're feeling it until you tell them. If your thought or feeling passed that test, then it's a thought or feeling you're making up. According to this, that we don't have to agree or believe. So I'm not, anything I'm saying is about debating. It's just I want to just share what it's saying. But that's deep, isn't it? You know, I love the idea that if it's not loving, it's not going to last. I love the fact that anything that's unloving has a built-in time limit. I think that's cool. I'm glad my fears couldn't last forever. That's the best news I could have possibly heard tonight. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah. What you hear? Tell me what you heard.
Well, sort of similar to what you were talking about, well, I was thinking about a really bad relationship I was in. And for over a year, I had major physical health problems. I mean, it was one thing after another. And when that relationship ended, I haven't been sick a day since, basically.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's when your mind was healed, your body was healed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother.
Definitions of atonement. I like this one. Is there any other one?
Yeah, the correction of error and the undoing of fear is another one. You know, the undoing of guilt is the atonement. Accepting your guiltlessness is the atonement.
It's interesting, having gone through various Bible studies and stuff, the word atonement is often, it's repeated throughout the New Testament, but no one ever stops to ask what that means.
Because most people just assume it means making up for what you did when you messed up. You know, people pretty much that they know what atonement means. You know what I'm saying? I screwed up royally, and I got to somehow or another make up for it. And then the course is saying, no, the atonement is to recognize that you're innocent, and that only what's loving is real, and anything that wasn't loving was never created, and that's why things here that don't last, because then nothing here is based on unconditional love. And that's why we go through what we think of as beginnings and endings, because we haven't learned how to let love come through us yet. We're letting fear come through us, and so our relationships change, and they begin and end, because they're not real to love yet. And so the most loving thing the universe can do is always make it so that anything that's not love keeps changing. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be cruel, because then you'd be in a state of constant pain and agony. So it's cool that the universe set it up that as long as I wasn't going to give myself something that was real, then it wasn't going to last, so I wouldn't stay trapped into something that was less than what I deserved. So the feeling of dissatisfaction is just an unwillingness to be trapped in something less than what you deserve. And you call it, and he said, we call it dissatisfaction. You know I deserve better than what I'm giving myself. That's what dissatisfaction is really saying. It's really a beacon. Yeah. It's a way to keep pulling you toward a better and higher, more loving state.
Can you, I'm sorry, can you say that again?
No way.
Please.
No way, no way. I can't. It'd be on the CD. It'd be on the CD. Because I don't want to stop the flow. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to try to go back to the past, because that'd take me out of the now moment. And then that's where all. I'm finally getting it. That's where the power was located, is in the now. And every time I start going in reverse, I'm totally losing awareness of where I am.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. What you hear?
Well, I'm thinking of what Douglas said. I always like to use the word atonement and say at oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me remember the one thing I heard. Mm-hmm. One of the one things I heard was about the suffering is when you insist upon seeing yourself as separate.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's a big.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I love to hear what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a gift to all of us. When you share what you heard out of that. Anybody else want to share? Or got a question before we go on?
I think that our ego keeps changing things. And as you said, anything that's not love keeps changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I get caught up in the next thought, changing something, because one of these times almost it's like it's going to hit. It's going to come together. I'm going to get this right. And because it's changed, because it's new, because it's different, it's going to be better, it's going to be right, and this one's going to last. But I deny the fact that nothing's been lasting until I suddenly realize it's the only thing that that is sustainable. His love. Period. And I think that keeps us stuck because, like I think I heard over here, maybe it was from Doug, atonement, the way I was brought up, like you say, I got to pay this back. Oh my God, paying this back, that's forever. I mean, I'll never get ahead of it. And so paying that, atonement equaling paying back, is a continuation of the punishment. It's a continuation of the guilt in that sense. Rather than atonement simply being, you know, like the lady said, it's at one-ment with God, with love, which it's like, wake up. The separation was only in your mind.
And tonight, and everything you're saying, I agree with it totally. That's what it's saying. But think about it. Tonight, though, our atonement is being described as the acceptance of our innocence. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? It's like, for whatever reason, in this time and space, in this moment, what we're hearing is telling us that the answer right in this moment would be for me to be willing to accept my innocence and to be open to accepting my innocence. Because if I was to accept my innocence, I couldn't suffer. If I was to accept my innocence, I wouldn't suffer, because the guiltless mind, he didn't say, he said, can't suffer. And it's like, you notice that it says it in a way it's almost like it didn't have a choice about it. If I feel totally innocent, I'm not going to be suffering. Sorry, you don't have a choice about that. If you feel totally good through and through, there ain't going to be no pain. Sorry, they go together. There's nothing you can do about that. And I love that. I love that. It's trying to get me to see that beating myself up was just a form of a magical solution I came up with to heal myself. That even my self-punishment is a distorted attempt for me to help myself. I just think beating myself up somehow is going to make me better. And I'm doing it to me before God does it to me. And it's like, wow. He said, so how do I get out of this self-punishment cycle? Then he says, well, I tell you how you get out of the self-punishment cycle. You ask yourself, what do you want? That's how you get out of the punishment that you're going through, the pain that you're going through, the upset. He says, ask yourself, what do you want? And then he says, realize you're answering, what do you want every minute of the day, and every decision you make all day is having an effect of giving you what you want. But there are two things you can give yourself, a day of love or a day of fear. I said, whoa! But he says, don't worry about it, because what God creates is eternal and never changes. And then the fear that we go through is made up by us, so therefore we can get rid of it because it's not based on love, no way, so it can't last. I love it. If I'm not thinking something is loving, I'm not thinking something is real. If I'm not thinking something is loving, I'm not thinking something is powerful. If I'm not thinking something is loving, I'm not thinking something that creates. I love that. So by definition, my fear can't create anything. It just makes perceptions that frighten me. My fear makes perceptions that frighten me. That's all they do. They just make perceptions that frighten me. But he says, that's what saves us, though. Because that means you're the one who's making up your own fear, and so therefore you can get rid of it. You can let it go. That the universe isn't supporting it and don't nobody else even really know about it. Check it out. The only person that's keeping my fear going is me. And then in order to keep it going, I got to remember everything that everybody's ever done that's offended me since the day I was born in order to feel like I care to make sure that it don't happen to me again. That way I'll make sure it don't happen to me again by remembering every time it ever happened to me in my whole life, for the rest of my life. I'll keep in my mind every injustice I ever thought I ever experienced, so if that injustice comes back around again, I won't make the same choice. And then I wonder why I'm just half crazy right now. You know, it's like you see what the Course is saying. It says, you know, the minute you want to hold a grievance, then you set it up where you have to constantly keep something in your mind that doesn't make you feel good in order to justify your anger. So you got to make yourself feel bad all the time to justify your anger. And so that's a punishment of yourself to spend all day feeling bad about something that happened to you in the past.
Crazy.
But that's just you punishing yourself because, you know, time took it away. Time took it away. Time actually took it away. Whatever happened to you is gone. Time took it away. Whatever happened to you that hurt you is gone. Time took it away. Time really did take it away. Everything that hurts you has been taken away. Everything that hurts you has been taken away. Everything that hurts you has been taken away. How do you know? Because you're sitting up here safe right now. That's how you know. Time took away everything that hurt you. How do you know? Because you're sitting up here safely right now. Because if it was still hitting you, it'd be still hitting you right now. If that car wreck was still happening, you'd be looking at mangled metal around me right now. If anything that was making you unhappy was happening right now, you'd be seeing it right now. So everything that you're using to make yourself unhappy isn't happening right now. Everything that would make you unhappy has been taken away in this moment. There's nothing harmful in this moment to us at all. Everything that would hurt us has been taken away. We're having a miracle right now. I love how Course in Miracles demonstrates itself as you do it. That's what makes it so different to me from most other teachers. Is that if I want to, I can analyze it, but if I don't analyze it and just let myself have the experience of it, I see it's always talking about something I'm doing all the time, but nobody ever spoke my own crazy way of thinking back to me. And the Course says, when the way we think is said back to us, it's a Course says it sounds insane to us and we can't even believe it. But it's the way we think. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share what you heard?
No.
Well,
yeah.
One thing you said, it really kind of triggers. I mean, it seems to me that, and it just sort of dawned on me, anytime you come up into a situation then in which you're running into absolutes, or in fact when there is no real choice, you've just run up against the laws of God. Because every time you're in a situation saying, gee, there is no real choice, I'm always this when I do that.
Yeah.
It's never this when I do that. It's all, whenever you're always and never and so on, you run into a situation where you see that the laws of God apply and that you have no real choice. It says it at the beginning of the Course in Miracles.
I call it being trapped in the truth. You get to a point on the path that you feel like you're trapped in the truth. That for you, you don't really have any other choice but to go for the other direction. It's like, you know, the other side doesn't even present itself as an option anymore. And it's, you'll know that all you want is love. You know that all you want is love. But until we get to the point that there is no choice, because all we want is love, then we'll have the illusion of choice as long as we want it. So those who still need to make that choice, I'm not taking it away from you. Okay? Those who still want to make that choice, don't feel like I'm trying to stop you. Okay? Those of you who still think you got to choose between love and fear or innocence or your guilt, you must make that choice in the course of saying choose for your innocence in order to be healed. If you think you got to make that choice, choose for your innocence in order to be healed. And then say, but there's some beings, they've gotten to the point on the spiritual path that they're finally getting to the point that they just want love, and they don't even have to try to decide about that anymore. That's all they want. And that's another level of consciousness you go to, where there's no choice for you anymore. I don't care. See, I'm to the point now, I don't care what I'm suffering about, I want to be helped. There's not going to be any situation I'm going to hold out that I don't want Earl to be helped. So that's no choice to me anymore. I don't want to do anything. I don't want anything that I could ever do or ever conceive of doing to stop me from receiving the help of God and the help of the Creator and the help of love. I don't care what I do. I don't care how horrible it could possibly be. I don't want it to be beyond the universe trying to help me and heal me. You see what I'm saying? You got to make a decision that no matter what you've done, you are innocent. You made a mistake, but a mistake is not a sin, and you are still innocent, and you are still loved. So anyone will be trying to figure out each individual issue that you think that you have that you need to get straightened out, because you realize there is no issue that you could have that you don't deserve to be loved and helped in. So you get rid of that whole thing of trying to figure out your different problems. You just want the answer that gets rid of all of them. And then the answer that gets rid of all of them is the acceptance of your innocence. The acceptance that you are not guilty. The acceptance that you are not sinful. The acceptance that you are not really separate from your source or really separate from love. And everything that blocks us from knowing that, we're going to have removed from our lives and out of our mind. Anything that keeps you from seeing how beautiful you are is going to be taken away. It's going to be removed. It's going to be undone. Anything that hurts you is going to be undone by the part of you that loves you. And it will be giving you instructions, individualized instructions from moment to moment that would be your own individual way of coming to that awakening. So you still have what you would call your own individual curriculum. But the problem with your own individual curriculum, or the challenge with your own individual curriculum, is that you have to trust it, and there's nobody else you can really talk to about it in a way. You know what I'm saying? Because it's really your path, and you have to trust yourself and your guidance enough to follow your particular individualized curriculum. And when you follow your curriculum, the course that you will experience joy. That when you're following your curriculum, you can tell, because learning is joyful. It's great. You love it. But if you're following the curriculum that you didn't make up, you're not enjoying your learning right now. If you're following somebody else's curriculum, you're probably not enjoying your learning right now. If you're following somebody else's curriculum, you're probably not somebody. If you're following somebody else's path, you're probably not enjoying yourself right now. If you're following somebody else's path, I don't know. So I claim for this group irreversible, unchangeable help and love. I claim for this group irreversible, unchangeable help and love at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. No matter what you may do, I ask that you be healed. No matter what you may ever do, I ask that you may be forgiven and corrected gently and lovingly for any mistakes you or I may make from this moment forward.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to stop here. Then do a little quick review in about 2 or 3 minutes. have some incredible beings here in the corner, Judith and Chardan, while I'm doing the love offering that you share with what you have to offer. Some two incredible beings. I'm going to let you know something is happening that could be helpful and wonderful for you. Also, I want to thank you for sharing money with me. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It may be an illusion, but it seems to be most helpful in terms of eating in this dream. So I appreciate you seeing enough value in what Spirit shares to me that you give, even though if you didn't give, you'd still be cool, because you're always giving.
Hello. Got it. Let them know. Okay, we are here. Thank you, Earl, for allowing us to be here and to share this stuff with you as you in the past and hearing this kind of stuff. Science, believe it or not, is finally catching up with us. Love the part about everything that's not about love.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be released.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the new technology is actually showing us that that possibility really exists in our bodies.
Yeah,
in our bodies. And if we, what we're trying to teach in this workshop is called the Nourishing Priors.
Saying nice when we're talking about a wonderful workshop has to do with letting go of things. So it's possible. Okay, you ready? What I'd like to do is just ask you to listen. Just listen. And see, and I'm going to try to say if I can say the main thing that it said tonight for us to think about. And just let yourself hear it. When your mind accepts its innocence, your mind will not suffer. And when your mind is innocent, it heals your body, because your mind's been healed. When your mind is finally healed and you only know yourself as love, you won't be able to even conceive of illness or pain or attack or lack, because you couldn't even conceive of attacking anyone or anything. You couldn't even conceive of anything or anyone attacking you when your mind is healed. Until your mind is healed, you may come up with a solution that goes something like, I will punish myself in order to mitigate the punishment of God. You cannot oppose the laws of love anymore. Then you can interpret the truth as any kind of way you want it to be. So all you have to do, starting tonight, is ask yourself the question, what do I want? In this relationship, what do you want? In your relationships, what do you want? In any part of your life that's troubling you, ask yourself, what do I want? Now, you will be able to tell how you are answering that question by everything you experience every moment of the day. And every moment of the day is a moment of decision, and every decision has an effect. There are but two things you're going to be choosing between. You're going to be choosing between peace or fear. But remember, having peace, having love, having total fulfillment is a decision. And the decision for your happiness and the decision for your peace, that decision is unchangeable. And that decision is irreversible, because the decision for your happiness was made by your Creator. The decision for your happiness was made by your Creator. So the decision for your happiness cannot be undone. The decision for your happiness was made by the eternal constant creator, so the decision for your happiness cannot be undone. Anything you make can always be changed. Any feeling that you're making yourself feel can always be changed, but the decision for your happiness cannot be undone. The decision for your happiness cannot be undone. There's been a decision for your peace that cannot be undone. There's been a decision for your abundance that cannot be undone. There's been a decision for you experiencing real love in relationship that cannot be undone. There's a decision for your happiness that cannot be undone. And any decision other than the decision for your happiness can easily change, because any decision that has nothing to do with your happiness could never ever be a decision that would be real or a decision that you would really want in your heart. Because in your heart you would never want it that it would be that you couldn't be healed, or that you couldn't be helped, or that you couldn't be loved. So the decision for your happiness has been made. And now you're going to have the pleasure of seeing how it all works out. The decision for your happiness has already been made. Now you're going to have the pleasure of experiencing how it happened. You're going to experience the pleasure of seeing how your own happiness happened. You're going to experience the pleasure of going through what you went through to become completely happy. So what do you want?
I want love.
I want potato pie.
Sweet potato.
I want sweet potato pie. And then God. I want to acknowledge you for sending this. We went through this, the end of this section. And the next section is a really light section I'd like you to start reading on. It's called Time and Eternity. Light reading. Like you, the Course in Miracles students. Course in Miracles students, for your homework tonight, I want you to study Time and Eternity and have it all done by next Wednesday. Did you see the humor in the Course in Miracles? You know, Time and Eternity.
I'm not having a good time with
I love that. I love getting ready to talk about time. Time is one of the most fascinating things you can read in the Course in Miracles, is what it talks about time. It's really awesome. You see, we got two choices. Everybody see that? Everybody see that? That basically that's what it boils down to: love or fear. Okay. Did you also get that the more you do things, or the more you make yourself feel innocent and getting in touch with your innocence, the more you have everything in your life healed? Did you hear that? So be aware of not attacking yourself during the week by making yourself feel guilty, or attacking yourself by trying to make somebody else feel guilty, because now you know that the guiltless mind can't suffer. So the more you get in touch with the innocence at the core of your being, then the more that innocence will heal every area of your life. So a holy relationship is a relationship where you and another person have joined for the purpose of helping each other recognize your innocence. That's a holy relationship. That's a real relationship. I'm here to be a constant reminder of your innocence. Even though you may make mistakes, and mistakes are for correction, but your core being, what you are at your essence, is innocent. It's loving. It's cool. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here to remind you of. Could you imagine living with somebody, having a connection or a friendship or a lover with somebody whose purpose was to help you remember how wonderful you are all the time and not let you forget, even though you all know y'all have a little errors you might make every now and then. But your underlying purpose with each other is like, Bunny, I'm going to make sure there is no way in the world you forget how innocent and beautiful and loved you are. My job is to see it for you at all times, even if you should forget about it. I remember it for you. That's my job. That's my job. That's a savior. That's what I saved up for. As my savior, that's what you saved up for. Now that we don't make mistakes, and now that they're not mistakes that are going to have to be corrected, but we are here in any given moment to help each other only make the choices that make us feel good about ourselves. And that's the same purpose I got with everybody else in the room. And that's how I know it's real, because if it's real, it's something you share with everybody. I always remember that. If it's real, everybody can have it at the same time. If it's an illusion that you're using to help you learn what love is, then it's always something that you have just to yourself. Anything you have just to yourself, you know it's something that's going to be temporary to help you achieve real love. That's why you just have it to yourself. But anything real, we can all have it all the time, right now. If it doesn't pass that test, it's not real. Okie dokie. Well, Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next class, if you dare. You know it is like Halloween weekend and everything, you know. And Wednesday 12 noon is the next class too. And of course, you can always get copies of every class on CD.